Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply grateful to be with you. I'm always amazed that I get this opportunity. I really am. This radio program, the Satsang, as we like to call it, is being recorded for March 10th, 2018. And I am grateful that you're listening to it. And I want to express my gratitude to my sponsors who make this all possible with their tax-deductible gifts. It is only through their loving kindness and your being blessed right now by a generosity you may never understand in your life, but it is a profound generosity to give, forgive, love, and make this program available for you. And I am very grateful to them for all they do to help me and to serve humankind the way I can and do. And I hope that you, the listening audience, some of you out there, will join in and become sponsors to help sustain our radio program. I would be honored and thrilled if you did. If you go to the website at aspire.org, that's A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G, you will see in the middle of the page there in the upper part, support, just click on it. A drop-down menu will come down, and it says, why support Aspire? And it will tell you all about Aspire, what we do, why it's important, everything. So I hope you'll you'll join us and help us sustain. You get a lot of really wonderful goodies for being a sponsor. You really do. The message of the month, access to all of my discourses for my TV programs, 122 on all sorts of different subjects. And the message of the month, and the commentary podcast and video cast that I do twice a month. So it's all there for you as a sponsor. And these are all things that will help advance you towards, well, hopefully your own insight. We're going to talk about relationships a little bit here today. These are tricky subjects that people get involved in. Very, very tricky. And the sad part about it all is that we don't know much about ourselves, much less about having a relationship. So let's take a look at it. Our first one comes from Carol, and she lives in New York City. I am, Greg, an avid listener to you, and I am suspicious about relationships in general. Is a quote-unquote good relationship where we always get along? I just don't see how that's possible, Carol. I don't know what get along means. Is that like get along, little doggy, or what? What are you saying? That we always agree? That we always are in line with each other, in harmony with each other, that kind of thing? Is that what you're talking about, getting along? Well, I don't think everybody gets along with everybody all the time. It just doesn't seem to work out that way. Everybody has varying opinions and backgrounds and genetics and DNA working. In fact, relationships show more than any other, I think, facet of personal life and human life. The relationship that is going on between genetics and DNA, the conversation that is happening between genetics and DNA. So a lot of what brings people together is purely the idea of DNA. Now, we want to believe that it's love and that somehow in love we find each other, but that's really not true. I'm going to tell you the facts of the matter. We are infatuated and under the scrutiny and the guidance, the impulse, I should say, the obsession of DNA. It is in our DNA to want to find a mate in order to procreate. Now, that's all it is. I know I'm taking away your love story and all of the TV programs or movie things that you guys like. I can hear it out there, but to be honest with you, on a pure basis, it's all about instinct and impulse. We just want to find a mate. We're here to mate and to make babies, even though we have way too many. And that is a very strong impulse in people, and they go for it. And that's what it's all about. Now, you have the genetics that add in the romanticism of it all. Now, that's another story. Romanticism is an entirely different story. We add romanticism, attraction. You have to be attracted to the male or female that you're going to mate with, have sex with, and make babies with. So there is that genetic kind of impulse there, that genetic obsession. And basically, then when the mating is done with, when the sex is over, it's over. The relationship basically is over. That's it. We're done. We did what we're here to do. And that's it. Very primitive, very... I'm laughing because I can hear all of you going, no, that's not true. But it is. It's very Neanderthal, and that's all it is. We add all the other complications. Well, now that you have, so to speak, given me your seed, now you have to take care of me and the baby. Now it's your responsibility, and that's also in DNA, to go out and make a life for us. So the male goes out and makes a life for himself and his pseudo-family and doesn't even know what this is all about. The human being, Carol, is a mechanism. And I'm getting to a point here. Believe me, I am. The human being is purely mechanism. That's all it is. And the only thing that kind of makes the mechanism tolerable is some kind of pseudo-morality that people have that they think is important. This morality says you only mate with me now, you don't mate with other people. But that's not what your DNA is saying. Your DNA, if you're a male, is saying go out there and get them all. Don't miss a good one. And the female is... got in her DNA, oh, you have to protect me. I can't go out into the world. I'm not equipped for it. I'm a stick gatherer, and I make the home, and you bring home the bacon, and I'll cook it, and that whole thing, and I'll raise the kids. But that's going to be my whole life, is doing that. And the male is going, well, all right, if that's the way it has to be, then he goes out. But he sees other women that he likes, that he's supposed to, in his mind, make babies with. That's just the way it is. So with this fundamental difference in human beings, male and female, you tell me, in a good relationship, are you always supposed to get along? How are you going to get along with all of that? Now, I know you don't believe probably a single word I say, but if you go and educate yourself a little bit, as I did and do, you will find out that everything I am saying is quite true. And it eliminates the whole idea of love stories and all of that. Love stories occur when two people recognize each other as spiritual beings. Now, that's a totally different story. If that comes first before the idea of the attraction thing and the sexual thing, now you have a different story, totally different story. But how likely is that? Well, it does happen. I've seen it happen and I understand it. It works. It's something quite beautiful, but you have to put aside the DNA. The relationship has to be about more than making babies and having family and that whole gizmo. It has to be about much, much more. So it's important that you understand what that all means. It means that you have to have the capacity. Oh, forgive me, dear Lord, for what I'm about to say, because I'm going to get mail on this one. You have to put love ahead of fulfilling your DNA That's the deal. You have to transcend your physiological, biological needs for the sake of a love, to enter into love. And this love, if it is authentic, will not be about falling in love with one person. It will be about being in love. It will be about existence in love. It'll be about living as love. It will be about awakening to love. It won't be about Harry or Sally or Mary or Jane or Bob or whatever. It won't be about any of that. Once you have found that experience of love and you can share the growth of that experience rather than the personal stuff, where do you want to have, a pizza for dinner, or do you want to have, vegetables? Do you prefer this over that? Our preferences are gone. There are no preferences in true love. We're not checking in with the body and saying, well, what do you want? And how can I compromise with what you want with what she or he may want? It's not about that at all. So there is something about this presence of love that lives in all of us that dictates inner awakening. And the real question will be, can I inwardly awaken to love with this person? Are they going to facilitate that with me in my life? Not a lot of people are into that. Not a lot of people can do that. Not a lot of people are able to do that. So now you kind of understand there is conventional relationships where no one gets anywhere but trying to put up with each other. And then there are the spiritual relationships, which come before the physical relationships. And that, my darling, dear Carol, that means you've got to really work on yourself, because you have to draw that kind of person to you, and you have to be drawn to that kind of person. And I don't think many people are, and nor do they care. And this all sounds like a bunch of hogwash to them. Hence, the world is the way it is. And please forgive me. Namaste. I probably don't have a single listener right now. Okay, the next one comes from Anne in Ann Arbor. She says, can I love my husband even though we are so very different? He likes many different things that I don't care about, and we find that we have to do a lot of compromising. Anne, this is just what I was talking about. You got to look at what brought you two together. Did you size him up? Did you look at him and think, well, he's fairly good looking, kind of sexy, and he's got a good job, or will have a good job. Maybe you were going to school at the time, whatever. And now we're going to marry this guy, make some babies, and make a family, and it'll be, happy ever after, because the money will be there because he works, and he will provide me with a nice home and blah, blah, blah. Is that the way it happened? Is that the way it went down? You're not sitting here, so I can only imagine how it went down. If you are very different from your husband, it's always going to be negotiation after negotiation after negotiation in the relationship. It just is going to be that way. And if you're going to live in negotiation after negotiation, then so be it. It's okay. That's just the way it has to be. But you're going to have to learn through those negotiations how to love, forgive, and give. And that might be the context of this relationship, that you are together for the utter reason of just creating within yourself a tolerance, a forgiveness, and a compassion that you never had before for yourself as well as for others. And that is perfectly legitimate to have. Absolutely legitimate. Sometimes we need people in our life for a while where they teach us what we are, what we like about ourselves, maybe what we don't like about ourselves, what we are learning about the level of our patience, our tolerance, our compassion, and most of all, our forgiveness. So if I don't have any of those things going on within me, this patience, this love, this forgiveness, then what do I have? Really, what do I have? I have nothing. I have nothing to bring about love and kindness. I have nothing to bring about truth. I have nothing to bring about the vigilance of living my life in accord with love. Not at all. It's just a matter of negotiating my genetics with his genetics. And we go back and forth in this and try to deal with our life in that manner. And the sad part about all of that is that's where we leave it. We never explore any deeper. And I'll tell you, it is very hard for people to go any further because we're so busy fighting for our own emotional, psychological, and oftentimes physiological survival through our DNA. You know, if you're with someone who is totally aggravating, totally upsetting to you, giving you all sorts of grief, then you're going to have difficulties. You just are with people in general. You're going to have great difficulties, and it drains you of your energy. And before you know it, it's all about just trying to survive them and the marriage and the relationship and the kids and all the other things. If you are very different from each other, you have to ask yourself, how is it I married this man? What was it? What was I ignoring when we were in, quote unquote, courtship? What was it that I wasn't seeing? What was I all about? And I am sure that it was the idea of trying to find someone to support you. Whether you knew it or not, or consciously, or would admit that, I don't know. But it's in the background for all of us, for men too. Men are like this. They're looking for that Madonna whore woman who is going to be presentable in public and raise their children, his child, his sperm child, perfectly, and yet be in the bedroom, you know, the honking whore. And that's what they want. Men are very guttural, in my opinion. I find them very guttural. They're very simple. You give them a banana and they're happy. I let them watch football with some grilled cheese sandwiches and French fries, and you got it made. I mean, there's nothing more you need to do. But if you understand all of this and you can understand it from the point of view of DNA and genetics, then you can look at it and go, oh, we're just doing our genetic dance. Now, this is not something that people, you know, want to acknowledge. It is only through meditation that you begin to grow beyond the ideas of what I've just expressed. If meditation is the center of the relationship rather than survival and sex, then you have something different. You're going to mature and you're going to find your genetics don't like it, your DNA doesn't like it, but something is sparking within you that is beyond the concept of living your life in the pedestrian mentality, which is what most of us do. We live strictly in the pedestrian mentality. And this is what makes us this way. Well, I'm only the way I am. I can't help the way I am. And that's the way people think. They can't help the way they are. But what can you do? I mean, literally, what can you do? If that's the mentality you have, which is 99 9/10 of the people on the planet, that's the way it is. But for those of you who might be considering something out of the box, something outside of all of this DNA and genetics, if you can find first your relationship with love, second in that love, forgiveness, tolerance, and compassion, where everything is molded around those things, then you will find that meditation, no, meditation, not sex, not survival, is the most important aspect of your relationship, because it is in meditation that the new world opens up, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus talked about it, as Buddha talked about it, as nirvana. It's all there. It just depends on the kind of person and the kind of life you want to explore. I hope that helps you, Anne. In Ann Arbor, please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, I'm running out of time here, is from Thomas in Los Angeles. Greg, I love my wife, but I find myself not being a great mate at all times. How can I be a better mate? Well, you know, I'm not going to give you things, you know, to do that might have something to do with a personality and all of that, the accoutrement of just getting along from a human standpoint. I'm not going to give you that. If you want to be a better mate, it has to be about love. If it's not about love, it's not about anything worth living for. It is only through love that we find the meaning of ourselves in this existence. It is only through love. And love means, in our case, in this world, the way we are, and me included, that there is sacrifice. Sacrifice of selfishness, of pride, of vanity, of personal hatred, of bias, of preference. All those things have to be sacrificed, given up, for the sake of the purity of a love that is greater than our existence can understand mentally and emotionally. That's what it's all about. So if you want to be a better mate, you have to be forgiving, tolerant, compassionate, and you can't develop those qualities for her unless you have them for yourself first. And if you haven't got them for yourself first, which I highly doubt, it is that you have to immerse yourself in an authentic spiritual practice that awakens you to the meaning of your life. We have horsed around in this world for thousands of years, acting like complete idiots, killing each other, hating each other, venging ourselves against each other. You have to see what you're up against. All of this stuff matters, and all of this stuff makes the way we are, makes life the way it is for us. It makes us think we know, and we don't. And with all of this in play and all of this stuff going on, we misunderstand the meaning of our life. We're not here to just find a mate, make babies, try to survive, and go on from there. It's not about that at all. And there is no plan from, quote-unquote, this crazy God that we've created in our minds for your life. You have to transcend. You have to experience and want to experience love more than wanting what you call love, which is purely survival, sex, and pleasure. That's it. That's all we are about. That's all we do. That's all this is about for the average duckling here. And in this way, if you're able to understand exactly what I'm saying, you're going to have a sense of meaning and purpose in your life that is beyond the concepts of what you can believe in. Life is so beautiful. It is so magnificent. And it has nothing to do with desire, ambition, and pride. It has zero to do with that. It has to do with the state of the heart. Your spiritual heart. It is only in that spiritual heart, not your human heart, your spiritual heart, that you find the ability to harmonize with the one and the all that is what this life is all about. It's a beautiful experience that few people allow themselves to have. Thomas, I'm out of here. Running out of time. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have comments or questions, please feel free to write me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. You know that. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.